Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
I love a sushi train.
Me too. They're so fun.
But in sad news, sushi trains may be under attack. Well, let's find out more.
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know. And if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Tell us what's going on in Japan with the sushi trains.
Yeah, so we've got this concept that they're calling sushi terrorism, which sounds rather dramatic. So it seems to date back to last month, if not the end of January this year, where you've got some, you know, young'uns, late teens, early 20s, going into sushi train restaurants and doing disgusting things with different things in the restaurant. So, for example, licking the soy sauce bottle or wiping saliva on the dishes that are on the sushi train. Oh. Needless to say, this is not going down well in a hyper hygiene focused culture like Japan, but equally I don't imagine any country in a COVID era is going to be cool with this.
I want to know, you know, if you think about sushi trains conceptually, it's you've got this conveyor belt, it has all of these different plates, and they've got the little plastic, they typically have the little plastic covers on the top.
Not in Japan, yep. Though.
Oh, they don't have the covers in Japan.
Well, that's actually part of I can't speak on behalf of every sushi restaurant, but this is a measure that they're putting in place now where they are looking to make sure that there are lids on everything. The one reason that they had for not having lids was that the turnover was so high they didn't need to have lids because it was literally just going on the conveyor belt and being taken off again immediately. But now they're looking at not only installing cameras but also in locking devices on some of the lids, which, again, all of this is obviously in some respects overkill because this is not a massive problem. But the massive problem is that in a hyper hygiene conscious society, people are reluctant to go to restaurants at the moment, and that has to be corrected. Even if it's a small handful of instances, you've now got a huge population not wanting to go into these restaurants for fear that this might happen.
Can I just say, I think it's like a little bit telling that the sushi trains in Australia already have lids and they've had them from the beginning, because it's almost like they're like, larrikin culture, we need those lids.
They're going to be licking everything. Those filthy convicts. Give them a second and they'll be licking every bottle. But it does though raise that issue though of mask culture, because Japan was a mask wearing culture before COVID. It didn't take much to convince the population there to take small hygiene measures, whereas Australians, think about the kind of protest we have and weirdly are still having, which is a strange Saturday afternoon thing in Melbourne where these guys are still getting together to protest mandates that no longer exist. But that culture in Australia is very different than in Japan. So that degree of disgustingness is much more acute in Japan than it would be here, although we'd still be grossed out, of course.
Lauren, I was in Japan a few weeks ago, and I will say I went to a couple of the hotels I was staying at. In fact, all the hotels that I went to where if I had breakfast there in the morning, you had to go in, before you went into the breakfast, you had to have your temperature taken, you had to sanitize your hands, you had to wear disposable gloves every time you went and got something for breakfast, and you had to put your mask in a particular envelope that was called a mask protector or something like that. You had to slide it into one of these envelopes. And every time you get up out of your chair, you had to put a fresh pair of gloves on before you could go again. They were hyper-vigilant, which I didn't mind, to be honest, apart from the waste aspect.
Yes. Yeah, well, I mean, this is the issue in terms of it's a country that not only is there cultural issues in terms of not thinking of the individual as much as is the case in say, Australia or Western culture, but the other is population density. You have people who are living much closer together on less landmass. You need to be mindful of how quickly disease can spread. But this, sushi terrorism, as a political scientist, I don't love the use of the word terrorism because terrorism implies a political motive to this, and I'm not sure there is that, but it's getting called sushi terrorism anyway. That this is similar to things you've seen around other places in the US last year and the year before. There are instances of people going into supermarkets, opening lids of ice cream tubs, licking the ice cream, sealing back the tub and filming it and then putting it on social media. And that led to, you know, it's quite common in Australia, there'll be a sort of shrink wrapping around the top of the ice cream tub. That's not the case for every brand in the US, but needless to say, more of that came in as a result because people got very, very grossed out about this. And again, it's part of stunt culture and the idea of social media wanting these, you know, ever craving content and people wanting likes and shares.
Well, that's the thing that this has me thinking about, because obviously, you know, if incident happened in isolation, there was one person that went, you know, it would be so funny if I just licked this piece of raw salmon and put it back on the plate. Sure, whatever. Yep. That's annoying for that one restaurant and that's, you know, you're banned for life, bye. But social media means that that person then has filmed that. Another person on the internet's gone, well, let me one up that and add wasabi to, you know, a plain bit of sushi, whatever. And now it becomes like, you know, this prank thing, and it's like dominoes because of the internet and because of social media, you can share these things and then more and more people can catch on, which is terrible.
Absolutely. But what also catches on, probably more so than the instances of doing it, is the instances of fear. And fear in terms of going into restaurants and thinking, is the food I'm about to consume, has it been tampered with? That's a cultural concern that is going to be much more widespread than people doing things such as feeling like I can't go into, or that I somehow feel like I need to lick a sauce bottle. It's far more common that you're going to see that kind of a contagion of fear.
Yeah.
Lauren, I think your sushi delivery might have arrived.
I think it's more likely the mailman arriving at a very late time.
I feel sad for you because you're not going to be able to get that package now.
And then I have to battle the post.
Do you want to go? Seriously, you want to run?
Don't be insane. But also, who knows who's been licking what surface at the post office?
Oh, exactly. I mean, but
that's life, right? Like, there is a little element of risk in pretty much everything we do. And I thought about this a lot, actually. Like, there's nothing stopping anyone from just, like, I don't know, stabbing you, for example. Oh. Like, literally,
that's
though.
That's rather...
But if you think,
do we need to talk about this rather extreme concern?
But if you think
we can, we can take the rest of the segment,
particularly at a sushi train venue.
Oh my gosh! But if you think about it, it's all about human restraint, and you should get it, Lauren.
Lauren, this is funny.
It's important. We'll put a song on.
It's not funny. It's not okay. I have a routine with the postman, and this is not cool.
Lauren, before you go, in Tokyo, I went to a really good sushi train restaurant. And I'm wondering how long it's been going for, because come to think of it, it was very quiet. There are only a couple of us in there, and normally this place is jam-packed.
Look, restaurants, as we know, even in Melbourne, have taken a battering as a result of COVID and people being less likely to eat out anyway. So there's that playing into this. But add to the idea that people are doing disgusting things to your food, adds another element of cautiousness as well.
Lauren, we'll let you go and get the doorbell. Thank you so much for joining us.
My apologies. I will talk to you next week.
Thanks, Lauren.
That's Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne.
Joy Drive with Em and Warren, 4 to 6 p.m. weekdays on Joy.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.